This week's edition of the Black Country Talking News is for the 3rd of June 2020. Welcome to the Black Country Talking News, brought to you by Sight Loss Charity Beacon Centre for the Sight Loss Community. Unfortunately, due to the unprecedented impact of COVID-19 and updated government guidance, Talking News currently cannot be distributed in CD format. The health and safety of our staff, volunteers and listeners is our main priority, and therefore we have taken the difficult decision not to distribute CDs to our loyal listeners until further notice and safe to do so. We are sorry for any inconvenience caused during this time. We are pleased to inform you that the Talking News service is continuing as an online podcast. This will be available via our website each week. The direct link can be found on our social media pages. You can also stream our Talking News service on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, the British Wireless for the Blind application, and on the podcast section of the Black Country Radio website. Simply search for Beacon Black Country Talking News and subscribe to the podcast. Whilst the coronavirus pandemic continues, we will not be reporting on any community or sporting events due to cancellations and postponements. Thank you for bearing with us at this challenging time. On this week's edition of the Black Country Talking News, we have Christine, Pete, Mina, Ian, Helen, Two Steves, Kez, Roger, Angela, and of course me, Simon. This week we have a roundup of local news, our weekly quiz, Black Country history, our weekly talking book review. In our Sight Loss section, we have a look at some sight loss tips for you. And this week in history, in our flashback section, environmental and sustainability ideas for the outdoors, the weather for the weekend and next week, plus an update from Beacon. And of course, to finish off with, we'll have our brain teaser to get you all thinking. Now, we set a brain teaser for you last week, so how did you get on? And to reveal the answers, here's Pete.
I am an odd number. Take away one letter and I become even. What number am I? So I am an odd number. I take away one letter and I become even. So what number am I? The answer is 7. 7 is spelt S-E-V-E-N. Take away one letter, S, and it spells even, E-V-E-N. The answer is 7.
Cheers, Pete. 7. Now, why didn't I think of that? Another brain teaser coming up at the end of this week's edition with Pete, of course. But let's start off now with some local news with Angela and Christine. But first up, it's Ian.
A war memorial has been officially opened after a £25,000 restoration. Tettenhall War Memorial, which is in the churchyard of St Michael's and All Angels in Wolverhampton, has undergone work after falling into disrepair. It was made possible by a fundraising campaign by Rotarians from the Tettenhall Remembers Group, which was supported by a donation of £8,000 from former Goodyear workers who are part of the 5344 Transport and General Workers Union Benevolent Fund. The work includes replacing the damaged sandstone cross, reinstating a missing section of the shaft with a faithful reproduction, and adding a new paved area to the base.
Additional taxi rank spaces will be created for black cab drivers in a bid to better serve customers at a major new development. New spaces will be created at locations across Wolverhampton city centre as part of the updated service. Following a consultation with Hackney carriage drivers, Wolverhampton Council backed the plan, saying they would provide valuable links to the city's west side development. The £55 million leisure-led West Side development includes plans for a multi-screen cinema and restaurants.
Beer sales are soaring as people enjoy the summer lockdown in their gardens. Banksy's brewer Marston today revealed it is having to work flat out to cope with demand for cans and bottles. The Wolverhampton-based brewer is sending beer to its plant in Burton-upon-Trent, where 5.5 million bottles and cans are now being sent out every week. It says it has seen a 50% increase in demand for beer from supermarket shelves. The rise goes some way to make up for the closure of pubs and bars, which has cost the brewery industry globally hundreds of millions of pounds.
Dudley Council is providing care homes and supported living providers with electronic devices to keep residents in contact with loved ones during the pandemic. The team has distributed 45 electronic tablet devices to date, and they are currently contacting further providers to see if they could also benefit from the support. The devices are designed to help keep vulnerable people in contact with their friends and family through Skype, as many centres are currently closed to visitors. It is also enabling health and social care professionals to contact individuals at the care homes and make arrangements for ongoing care needs. Devices are being funded through the Council's integrated commissioning budget, and the care homes will be able to keep the devices after the crisis.
Volunteers are sleeping out at an animal sanctuary as it appeals for donations to boost security after five animals were snatched from their enclosures. Staff at Brookswood Animal Sanctuary in Sedgley came onto the site on Tuesday morning to find two turkeys and three sheep had been stolen overnight. It is feared they were taken for food. The incident has been reported to West Midlands Police, who are beginning investigations. The missing animals from the Catholic Lane site include Trevor, a slate grey turkey, Clarissa is a Norfolk black turkey, Rose, Florence and Minnie are all SOA type ewes. Rose and Florence both have curved horns and Minnie has short stubby horns. Brookswood posted an online appeal to Facebook for anyone with information to come forward.
People in Wolverhampton are being reminded that they can now get tested for coronavirus if they're symptomatic on the condition, with the additional capacity available through a mobile testing unit, which is currently operating in Wolverhampton. Anyone aged 5 and over with symptoms of the COVID-19, a high temperature, a new and continuous cough, or a loss or change in the sense of smell or taste, can now be tested. Testing will usually be offered at home or at a drive-through test centre. The test is most effective within 1 or 3 days of the symptoms developing and should be carried out within the first 5 days. For more information and to apply for a test, please go to dove.uk. Please note all appointments must be booked in advance.
Thanks, Angela. There's more local news to follow, but now here's Mina with this week's quiz.
It's that time again to test you on events that happened on this week in history. As always, you will find the answers in our flashback section coming up later in this week's Black Country Talking News. Are you ready? Here we go. Question one. In what year was Marilyn Monroe born? Question 2. What year was fingerprinting introduced to catch criminals? Question 3. How much cash did Butch Cassidy and his gang steal in their first robbery? Question 4. Name the first man-made object landed safely on the moon. Question 5. Who invented the hovercraft? And finally, question 6. Dean Martin did what before he came to fame as a singer and actor? Keep listening for the answers. If you miss them, don't panic. We'll let you know all the answers at the end of this week's edition. Good luck!
Thanks, Mina. Time for some more local news now with Christine.
A biker was taken to hospital after an alleged hit-and-run crash in Wordsley. Paramedics tended to a man after the road traffic collision. The motorcyclist was injured when he was involved in a crash with a car at the junction of Marshall Crescent and Auckland Road. The red Alfa Romeo car involved is reported to have left the scene, while the biker suffered injuries not believed to be life-threatening. Paramedics and a basics doctor, along with another off-duty paramedic, helped treat the man after he was injured at around 7:30 p.m. on Wednesday, 27th of May. He was taken to the Queen Elizabeth Hospital in Birmingham.
Cineworld hopes to start showing films in all its cinemas in July as Britain slowly comes out of lockdown. Bosses said that its cinemas up and down the country would open when restrictions are lifted, including those in Telford, Wolverhampton, Shrewsbury and Birmingham. Cineworld currently anticipates that government restrictions related to cinemas will be lifted in each of its territories by July. Subject to this and confirmation of the schedule for film releases, Cineworld anticipates the reopening of all its cinemas in July, the cinema giant said in a statement to visitors.
Dudley Market is set to welcome the return of more traders and shoppers this week as the government gives the go-ahead for outdoor markets to reopen. In his statement on May 25th, the Prime Minister confirmed that they could reopen from June 1st as part of Step 2 in easing the lockdown. Tudor Markets, which operates Dudley Market on behalf of Dudley Council, has welcomed this announcement and are busy putting plans in place to fully reopen this week.
Jobs are likely to come to the West Midlands as it becomes the headquarters of a major new UK brewing operation. It was announced last week that the brewing arm of Marston's is being combined with that of Carlsberg to create the Carlsberg Marston's Brewing Company. Richard Westwood, the managing director of Marston's Beer, today said the deal was good news for the region, that it would be the home of the head office of the new business. When the COVID-19 crisis is over, we will also be launching an exciting new beer from Wolverhampton, said the former head brewer, who has been with the business since 1976. Mr. Westwood, who will be chief operating officer of the new Carlsberg Marston's Brewing Company joint venture when the deal completes in September, said, "It is a positive move and there is very much a plan for growth."
Sandwell libraries may be shut, but you can still borrow a good book, and lots of you have. You can borrow a book online via any smartphone, tablet or computer. To sign up, please visit the library's webpage and start borrowing books today. During April 2020, library members downloaded a total of 2,539 e-books and e-audiobooks, almost double the number of downloads than in February 2020. Active membership of BorrowBox, readers who renewed, issued or reserved a title, increased by 58% from pre-lockdown figures.
City of Wolverhampton Council has reopened its Shore Road Household Waste Recycling Centre. The council has urged residents only to make essential trips, which means taking items that cannot be safely stored at home. Residents have also been told not to visit the site if they or members of their household are showing any symptoms of coronavirus, and that a strict social distancing policy will be in operation to ensure the safety of visitors and staff. The council is reminding those who plan to visit Shore Road that a maximum of 2 people per vehicle will be allowed onto the site. No vans or trailers, cars only. Visitors must bring ID, a household bill and photo ID to show that they're a Wolverhampton resident to gain access to the site. No trade or business waste will be accepted. No children under 16 allowed, as per DEFRA guidance. Items not accepted include oils, paint and chemicals. Opening times are Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Late night Thursday, opening at 8 p.m. Weekends, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m.
Thanks, Angela. Time for Black Country History now with Steve.
For this week's edition, I'm going to talk about another prominent historical figure in the Black Country, Emma Sproson. Emma was a suffragette, activist, feminist, politician, and in some people's minds, at least at the time, a militant and a criminal. She was instrumental in the suffragette movement, playing a prominent role in transforming the views of women within society, as well as enhancing their rights, including obtaining the right to vote. Following the passing of the People's Representation Act in 1918, Emma would go on to become Wolverhampton's first female councillor, elected as a Labour candidate for Dunstall Ward in 1921. Throughout her political life, she campaigned tirelessly to improve the lives of working people, fighting for improved working and housing conditions and enhanced pay, amongst many other causes. Emma was born on the 13th of April 1867 in West Bromwich. She was one of 7 children of John Lyd, a canal boat builder, and his wife Anne. Emma experienced a childhood of extreme poverty. Recalling her childhood, Emma notes, "On the day I was born, my mother only had a half penny and no food in the house." At the age of 8, Emma and her family moved to Wolverhampton, where she attended school at St Matthew's, but anxious to relieve her mother's burden, was not overly fond of it. At the mere age of 9, Emma obtained a regular job caring for an elderly woman, attending to her before school, at midday, and after, until her death. Following the woman's passing, Emma would go on to work a number of roles before obtaining a full-time job at the age of 13, working for a promising young man and his mistress, completing housework. The job presented Emma with the opportunity to read and educate herself, whilst enabling her to earn half a crown a week, with her accommodation also provided. Unfortunately, her job would end abruptly when the mistress's brother made unwelcome advances, entering her bedroom and locking the door behind him. Emma, in retaliation, picked up a poker to defend herself and threatened to smash a window if he did not open the door. She was later ordered to leave without a reference. And this incident prompted Emma to move to Bolton in Lancashire, where she became a Sunday school teacher. Following her move to Bolton, Emma joined a debating society. Shortly after, she moved to Southport and had her first political encounter at a meeting held by Lord Curzon, parliamentary candidate for Southport. During the meeting, Emma asked a question to Lord Curzon, who refused to answer on the grounds that the question had been asked by a woman who did not have the right to vote. From this day onwards, Emma became a keen feminist. Having saved a little money in Lancashire, Emma returned to Wolverhampton in 1895, starting a small business on her own to provide a home for her mother. Her return home did not diminish her interest in politics, however. She continued to attend meetings, lectures and debates, and would join the Independent Labour Party in the same year. It was here that she met her husband, Frank Sproson, a postman and secretary of the Wolverhampton branch of the ILP. Frank, unlike many men at the time, arguably, was progressive. He was supportive of his wife and her ideals and did not conform to the view that the woman's place was in the home. It was also Frank who was instrumental in bringing Emmeline Pankhurst, the founder of the Women's Social and Political Union, to Wolverhampton. Emmeline stayed with the Sprosons during her stay and was impressed by Emma, who chaired one of the ILP's meetings. Emma was later invited to a demonstration in London in February 1907, which ended with over 67 arrests being made, one of which was, of course, Emma. On March 18th, 1907, Emma and another Wolverhampton suffragette participated in a further protest at the House of Commons, with both women arrested. Emma was ordered to serve 30 days in Holloway Prison, one of which was her 40th birthday. By the time of her second arrest, anti-suffragette sentiments were widespread and the public's attitude to Emma was aggressive on her return to Wolverhampton. She frequently received abuse when addressing meetings and was regularly greeted with chants of "Emma, Emma, learn your grammar," due to her working class background. As well as verbal abuse, Emma also suffered physical abuse, resulting in injuries. On one occasion, whilst addressing a gathering in Bromsgrove from a lorry, members of the crowd angrily attempted to overturn it into a nearby river. Emma had to be escorted to the train station by the police, whilst the mob followed in too, throwing stones and bricks. In early 1908, Sproson left the WSPU and joined the Women's Freedom League, a non-violent suffrage group. She became branch secretary in Wolverhampton and a member of the National Executive by February 1908. Despite abandoning violent methods of protest, Emma would still run into trouble with the law. In May 1911, in protest against women not having the right to vote, Emma refuses to pay her dog licence. Her husband Frank was summoned for aiding and abetting his wife to keep a dog without a licence. Emma was imprisoned for 14 days and her dog was later shot. After years of struggle, the Representation of the People Act was passed in 1918. The Act extended the vote to women aged 30 and over who resided in the constituency or occupied land or premises with a rateable value above £5, or whose husbands did. At the same time, it extended the local government franchise to include women aged 21 and over on the same terms as men. Although this extended the vote to 8.5 million women, It wasn't until the Representation of the People Equal Franchise Act in 1928 that women gained the vote on the same terms as men. Following the passing of the Representation Act, Emma stood in the local elections as a Labour candidate for Park Ward in 1919 and 1920, but was unsuccessful on both occasions. In 1921, she stood again as a candidate for Dunstall Ward and, on this occasion, was successful. To celebrate her victory, she waved a red flag from the balcony window of the council house, earning herself the nickname Red Emma. Throughout her political career, Emma was very vocal, campaigning tirelessly for a number of causes. She also continued to be embroiled in controversies from time to time. In 1923, she was thrown off the Health Committee for publicly denouncing corruption in the Borough Fever Hospital. And in 1927, she would stand as an independent after citing frustrations with the Labour Party, the council's finances and its expenses scandal. Her failure to gain re-election would mark the end of her career in politics, partly due to increasing deafness. Emma subsequently passed away on December 22, 1936, aged 69, but her legacy lives on.
Thanks, Steve. Later on in this week's Black Country Talking News, we'll go back in time again for our flashback section with Roger, but now for more local news with Angela.
Bulky Waste Collection is back in Sandwell. You can now book collection online at www.sandwell.gov.uk/bulkywaste. But remember, due to the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic, headboards, mattresses and beds will not be collected as part of this service. You can either take them to the tip or store them at home until full bulky waste collection resumes. Demand is expected to be high for the bulky waste collection service.
Packages containing masks, aprons, gloves and hand sanitizer are to be given to schools in Dudley Borough as part of measures to ensure children can return safely during the coronavirus pandemic. Dudley Council will be providing care packages free of charge to schools in its borough as some children returned on Monday. The government has proposed that pupils in reception, year 1 and year 6 go back to school from June the 1st, with the ambition of other year groups in primary school returning before the school summer break.
Firefighters have issued a warning to stay out of the water after emergency services rushed to reports of two people in distress. Multiple fire engines, a rescue boat, three police officers, three ambulances and an air ambulance scrambled to Lowtown in Bridgnorth last week after reports that two people were in trouble in the River Severn. As crews frantically carried out a search, they saw several people in the water before eventually finding two females on Friars playing fields who had made it out of the water after getting into difficulty. Bridgnorth Fire Station put out a statement saying, "We have just been called to a rescue from water in Lowtown. The caller states two persons in the river in distress. However, on arrival, we located a large number of people enjoying the water. Following a hasty search of the water by specially trained firefighters, we located two females on the Friars Field who had been in the water. Clearly, this is a huge drain on the available resources available, as in attendance with us were three appliances from Tweedale, two appliances and a boat from Shrewsbury, two flexi officers, as well as three police officers, three ambulances, one helimed, plus a second helicopter was also en route. We really must insist that you stay out of the water. It's dangerous."
A business leader is warning that many small and micro coffee houses and restaurants in the hospitality sector may not survive the coronavirus crisis. Sham Sharma, chairman of Wolverhampton Business Forum, is urging the government to provide improved support for his members in the sector. Mr. Sharma, who runs Zuri Coffee in Lichfield Street, said many cafes, bars and restaurants in the city were facing serious problems in staying in business due to the lockdown and problems with the cost of reopening. Many local businesses could go out of business, he warned. He said that in his case, where he had only 30 customers, 2 metre social distancing, he would only be able to operate with 5 or 6 customers. That would not generate enough money for a small business like this, he added.
Oldbury's Brandhall Golf Club will be closed to make way for a housing estate and a school, despite a protest to save it from the axe. The 18-hole course off Heron Road is now not expected to reopen despite the relaxation of lockdown rules enforced in March. In October last year, the council announced plans to shut the 116-years-old club and build up to 520 homes, a park, and relocate the ageing Causeway Green Primary School onto the land. The plans led to protests from golfers who fought for it to remain open and nearby residents who feared the housing development would increase the risk of flooding to their homes.
Schools in Sandwell are to limit classroom sizes to a maximum of 10 pupils when and if they reopen next week. Councillor Yvonne Davies, leader of the Sandwell Council, said the final decision on whether individual schools open their doors will be made by governors, while families can keep their children at home if they fear for their safety.
Thanks, Christine. Our final local news roundup to follow, but now it's time for our regular Talking Book review with Talking Book Steve.
Hello, everybody. You may or may not be aware that a couple of weeks ago, we celebrated National Mental Health Awareness Week. And with that in mind, I wanted to find an audiobook to review this week that's centred around positive mental health and emotional well-being. And I stumbled across an audiobook called Mind Over Muscle. Now, Mind Over Muscle is written and narrated by popular TV host Ant Middleton. You may know him from the Channel 4 TV series SAS Who Dares Wins. So it got my attention and I thought I'd provide you with a bit of a summary of the book itself. So, the number one best-selling author of First Man In and The Fear Bubble is back with what's considered to be his most inspirational work yet. After 13 years in the military, including 4 in the UK's elite special forces as a sniper, Ant Middleton was the epitome of military excellence. Since leaving the military, he's climbed Everest. He's sailed 3,500 miles in grueling recreation of the mutiny on the Bounty and become a best-selling author and TV host. He's been around the block a few times and learnt a thing or two along the way. So Mind Over Muscle is a summation of all these experiences. It's the lessons gleaned from a colourful life filled with extreme challenges. In this audio original, Ant Middleton shows you how to build up the most important source of strength you have, the power of your mind, considering the philosophy into 4 simple to grasp pillars. He then challenges you to go out there and live it. Using the tools of the 4 pillars, you're ready to take on the mindset challenge, a revolutionary new concept only possible in audio. The mindset challenge is a 28-day training plan for the mind. Each day, Ant will challenge you to embrace fear, be positive, take ownership of situations, learn to lead and have integrity. There are 2 lives you could be living, the one you're living now, and the better version that's just a thought away. Push yourself further than you've pushed before and become the best version of yourself. So, the book itself is around 6 hours and 22 minutes and hopefully, you know, you might fancy a listen. If you do, let us know whether you enjoyed it or not. And of course, as always, if there's any books that you would like us to review or take a look at, do get in touch. Let us know at Beacon and we'd be happy to do a review in the future for you. Many thanks. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Steve. Let's get our final local news roundup now with Ian.
Designs for a planned monument to honour key workers for their efforts during the coronavirus pandemic have been revealed. Councillors in Dudley are mulling over 2 designs for permanent monuments in the borough, which would recognise the work of NHS and healthcare staff, key workers and community volunteers. One is in the shape of a rainbow, the iconic symbol of hope and light, which has been synonymous with the pandemic and would potentially be located outside the borough's main hospital at Russell's Hall. The second idea under consideration is for columns to be placed in each of the main town centres, forming part of a trail through the borough. The columns would depict a range of scenes, including doctors and nurses at work and the weekly clap for carers. Both designs have been created by Dudley artist Steve Field. Plans to give healthcare staff the freedom of the borough are due to be signed off at a council meeting next month.
Motorists were caught up in queues after the M5 was closed as a dog ran onto the motorway. The M5 near West Brom and its link with the M6 was closed after a dog ran loose. The dog was spotted on a motorway between Junction 1 for West Brom and Junction 2 for Albury. The route was closed near Albury Viaduct while Highways England officials ensured the dog was caught. It happened around 8:30 a.m. on Wednesday the 27th of May, with the route reopened by around 9 a.m. Highways England tweeted to drivers, "Thank you for your patience whilst we ensure the dog was caught safe and well."
People are being encouraged to have their say on plans to extend a ban on drinking alcohol in public places in parts of Wolverhampton. A citywide public space protection order has been in operation in Wolverhampton since March 2017, giving police powers to stop people from drinking and to surrender alcohol if they are causing or likely to cause antisocial behaviour. However, this order was only valid for 3 years, therefore further consultation is required to determine whether the current arrangements should continue. In addition to the citywide prohibitions, an outright ban on street drinking in St Peter's and Park wards, including the city centre, is being sought. These measures were included in the original order and are being sought once more in response to local concerns and to continue the robust approach which has previously been taken.
House sales have soared since lockdown restrictions were eased, estate agents have said. The scale of the bounce back has surprised experts and brought some hope for the region's economic recovery post-coronavirus. Buyer demand spiked by 88% after estate agents were given the go-ahead to buy and sell properties once again. Estate agents have likened pent-up demand to a cork from a champagne bottle, as business has risen to levels above that experienced before lockdown was imposed. Housing analysts warn the high interest following the easing of lockdown will not continue at current levels, and it is uncertain how the housing market will respond to Britain heading into a post-virus recession. But the West Midlands housing market was today described as surprisingly healthy, with up to 80 inquiries for some in-demand properties.
A man from Worsley has thanked the optometrist who gave him a potential sight-saving emergency appointment. Neil Collins contacted Pinder and Moore Opticians in Kingswinford after he was suffering pain and experiencing floaters in the vision of his right eye. Optometrist Amit Sharma saw him for an emergency appointment the same day. Although closed for routine appointments due to government restrictions, the independent optician is still seeing patients who require essential and emergency consultations. During the appointment, Amit was concerned that Neil had a retina tear, which can, if left untreated, lead to blindness. He was referred to Birmingham Eye Hospital, and within a day of contacting Pinder and Moore and his emergency appointment, Neil had laser surgery to repair the tear. Although he is still waiting to hear whether further surgery is needed, Neil is extremely thankful for the care he received.
A mystery shopper exercise to check the performance of taxi drivers in a city when required to assist people with disabilities has proved a success and is to be extended. The scheme consisted of a series of journeys made in both hackney carriages and private hire vehicles by wheelchair users, people with mobility difficulties and blind or partially sighted passengers with guide dogs in Wolverhampton. Those taking part were also asked to complete a questionnaire relating to issues of safety, accessibility, the driver's attitude, comparison to other transport facilities, and anything they thought was particularly good or bad.
Thanks, Christine. Now it's time for our sight loss section with Pete.
Well, this week I thought let's have a look at a few strategies, a few sight loss tips, few ideas about living at home with sight loss that might make life a little bit easier. So start off in your wardrobe, where you hang your clothes. And to help identify colours, have you thought about using safety pins? I.e. you put no safety pins on black clothes, maybe one safety pin on blue clothes, two on brown clothes. So the tactile, it might be something else, but develop your own system. Could you use safety pins as a tactile way through touch of identifying clothes? Something to think about. Could you use safety pins for keeping socks together as well? Or could you always buy the same coloured socks? So every time you pick up two socks, they're exactly the same. Unless, of course, you like the odd sock look. Now, when you take your shoes off, how about using a clothes peg to clip your shoes together so they're always in pairs and in the correct pairs as well? So when you come to put them on again, you can be absolutely sure you've got the matching pair. So a clothes peg. When making a hot drink, a cup of tea or a cup of coffee, rather than a teaspoon of sugar, which could be messy, maybe a sugar cube could be an alternative. And when chopping vegetables, have you thought about using a metal hair comb as a guide? So keep one separate and one of those big metal combs with a handle on. And so put that into your vegetables and then use the teeth of the comb to make the cuts into the vegetable. So it's nice and neat and less chance of any cuts to yourself, maybe. Have you thought about using different coloured chopping boards when you're chopping vegetables again? So we're using contrast here. So if you're chopping a cauliflower, say, or a potato on a white board, then it's white on white, so it's a little bit hard to see. So perhaps you might get a red chopping board for that to make it easier to see. And of course, if you're chopping up a red pepper, then you might want to use your white chopping board. So there are different colour chopping boards around, so contrast is pretty useful there. So have a look for different coloured chopping boards. And on the subject of contrast, very helpful around the home. Placemats are quite useful when you think about contrast. So let's say again you're making a hot drink and you've got a white mug and you're putting it on a white surface, a white tablecloth. So it's white on white. So it blends in, maybe a little bit harder to see. What you could do is get maybe a dark blue mat, put the dark blue mat on the white tablecloth, then put your white mug or cup and saucer on there so you've created a contrast so it's easier to see. Think about that with plates, with tablecloths, different coloured tablecloths. Coloured beakers could be another one you could use. Pouring water is sometimes difficult. So maybe could a coloured beaker help with that? In the bathroom, maybe you've got a white bathroom suite. So it's a white loo, white sink, white bath, white shower. And you've got white soap, white towels, white flannels. So everything's white. So rather than change your bathroom suite, why not change your soap, towels and flannels? So they're a contrasting colour, so they're just easier to see. In the bedroom, duvet covers, if they are the same colour as your carpet and where the duvet meets the carpet, you can't see the edge, so there's a potential tripping hazard there maybe. So think about contrast there as well, and also keep it well lit. That would be another useful one. So contrast and lighting together can be very useful. Armchair cover is another one to consider as well. If you've got an armchair cover, think about making it a contrasting colour to the armchair or settee that you've got so you can clearly identify the edge. Cushions, another one which might be useful. Different coloured cushions, contrasting cushions. So just makes it a little bit easier to see, a bit easier to use. So just a few sight loss tips there. I hope you found them useful. But what we would love is if you have your own sight loss tips that we could share with others. So we'd love to hear from you. So if you want to ring them in, please do so. Give us a call on 01902 880111. We'd love to hear your sight loss tips.
Thanks, Pete. There's more sight loss information to follow next week. You'll find the answers to our quiz next, but first with this week's flashback section, it's Roger.
This is our flashback section, where we look at events that happened this week in history and where you will find the answers to the quiz question set earlier. Marilyn Monroe, whose real name is Norma Jean Mortison Baker, was born on June 1, 1926. The American actress died at an early age, and her death is still the centre of a famous conspiracy theory. The most mentioned films, of course, are Gentlemen Prefer Blondes, made in 1953, How to Marry a Millionaire, again in 1953, and Some Like It Hot, which was made in 1959. Then on June the 1st as well, in 1843, Henry Fawlds was born. He was a Scottish scientist and the father of fingerprinting. He was the first to suggest using fingerprints for criminal investigations in 1880, but the use of fingerprints as an ID had been introduced in the 1860s by Sir William James Herschel in India. Fawlds, however, developed a classification system that extended its use into criminal investigations. On June the 2nd, 1899, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid's first train robbery took place. Cassidy's Wild Bunch gang, which included the Sundance Kid, committed their first robbery and they stole between $30,000 and $60,000. The robbers' gang members were Cassidy, Sundance, Harvey Logan and Elsie Lay. Then on the 3rd of June 1966, the first successful US soft landing of a man-made object on the moon named Moon Surveyor 1 occurred. Part of its mission was to study the lunar soil in preparation for the Apollo missions. The Soviets had landed their Luna 9 4 months earlier. And incidentally, during the space race, the Americans allegedly spent millions of dollars developing a biro that would write in zero gravity in space. The Russians, however, saved their money and sent their astronauts up with pencils. How sensible. On the 4th of June 1937, Sylvan Goldman, the owner of Humpty Dumpty grocery store in Oklahoma City, begins using his new invention, the shopping cart. It was essentially a folding chair with wheels and two baskets attached. The carts were initially a flop, as shoppers were reluctant to use them. Men found them effeminate, and women thought them too much like baby carriages. So Goldman hired both male and female models to shop with them. Eventually, folding carts became extremely popular and Goldman became a multimillionaire by collecting a royalty on every folding designed shopping cart in the United States. Goldman also invented nested shopping carts, where the carts are pushed inside each other for storage, as we see today. On the 5th of June 1910, the inventor of the hovercraft, Sir Christopher Cockerell, was born. He was an English inventor and holder of 98 patents, inventor of the hovercraft in 1959. He also invented devices to harness wave power for energy production. And then on June the 6th, 1944, a day in history if ever there was one, and we can't let this one pass, it was D-Day, when Allied troops invaded Europe in Normandy during World War II. Over 4,000 Allied troops were killed on the first day of the invasion, with the Germans losing about 1,000. Also known as the Normandy Landings, this was the largest seaborne invasion in history, with 875,000 men disembarking by the end of June. Then on the 7th of June, 1940, Thomas Jones Woodward, or Tom Jones, a Welsh singer, was born. And as a child, he spent 2 years bedridden with tuberculosis. And what a voice to come out of having such a terrible lung disease, eh? On the same day, but in 1917, one Dino Paul Crocetti, that's Dean Martin to you and me, was born. Formerly, he boxed professionally under the name of Kid Crockett, or Kid Crochet, whatever you want to say. He became a singer and actor later and teamed up with Jerry Lewis on American TV in 1948. Well, that's your lot. Good luck with the quiz. Bye for now.
Thanks, Roger. Now, in past weeks, we've looked at environmental and sustainability ideas for the home, but what about if you fancy a day out? I mean, it's been lovely of late, hasn't it? Here's Kez to tell us more.
Today, I'm going to talk about tips for being eco when you're out and about. For many people, myself included, one of the most challenging situations is trying to be eco-conscious when out and about, as you don't have access to all your usual stuff that you might have at home, and so you need to take your own kit out with you. So it's important to find items that work for you in terms of weight and functionality. For me, there's three main things that I take out if I'm going for a day out. I take a reusable straw in a bag, I take a reusable cup and or water bottle, and I take reusable cutlery with me. For me, having a reusable straw is really important because I don't particularly get on with paper straws, and also I know that in a lot of situations they end up going into the bin rather than into compost once they're used. So I shopped around and found a straw that suits my situation, and then I have the bag so that it can go into it once it's been used so everything else doesn't get wet. I absolutely adore a cup of coffee. So when I'm out and about, having a reusable cup is a must for me, as it allows me to have a coffee on the go, and I can top it up when out and about. And the great thing is, a lot of places now offer a discount on takeaway coffees if you're using your own cup. About a year ago, I also decided to invest in an insulated water bottle so that I can always have cool water when I'm out of the house. And I use something called the Refill app on my phone to find the nearest points to where I am so that I can fill up my water bottle for free. And then my final one, taking cutlery, might seem like a little bit of an odd choice, but I found that so many places that I eat while I'm out of the house only have single-use cutlery. So I invested in a foldable cutlery set to use instead. There's a huge amount of other options that you can look at for ways to be eco-conscious when out and about. What's really important is just finding something that works for you.
Thanks, Kez. Now, if you missed them earlier on, let's go through all the answers to this week's quiz with Mina.
As always, our questions are based on events that happened on this week in history. How did you get on? Let's see. The answers. Okay, question one. In what year was Marilyn Monroe born? The answer is 1926. Question two. Fingerprinting was first used in criminals' investigations in what year? The answer is 1880, though it was first introduced earlier in India. Question three. How much money did Butch Cassidy and his gang steal in their first ever robbery? The answer is between $30,000 and $60,000. Wow. Question four. What was the name given to the first man-made object to be landed on the moon by the USA? The answer is Moon Surveyor. Not altogether a very interesting name, was it? Question five. What is the name of the British inventor who conceived the hovercraft? Now the answer here is Sir Christopher Cockerell. And finally, question six. What did Dean Martin do for a living before he became a singer and an actor? And the answer here is he was a professional boxer, and it appears he was a better singer than a fighter.
Come on then, how did you get on? Nowhere near as bad as me, so don't worry. We've got another brain teaser for you shortly to test you again though. But now let's see if the weather's changing and how many daylight hours we can expect. So here's Mina again to tell us all about it.
The sunrise and sunset times for the week ahead are sunrise 4:47 a.m, sunset 21:28 p.m. Now we have more daylight this week, but cooler weather ahead and still not much rain about. On Friday, 5th of June, we have light cloud and a moderate breeze with a maximum temperature of 16 degrees. Saturday, 6th of June, we have sunny intervals and a moderate breeze with a maximum temperature of 13 degrees. Now that's 11 degrees cooler than last Saturday. Moving on to Sunday, 7th of June, we have light cloud and a moderate breeze with a maximum temperature of 15 degrees. Monday, 8th of June, we have light cloud and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 16 degrees. Now moving on to Tuesday, 9th of June, we have light rain, although the temperature will rise a little. We have a gentle breeze and the maximum temperature is 18 degrees. On Wednesday, 10th of June, we have light cloud and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature again of 18 degrees. And finally, Thursday, 11th of June, we have sunny intervals and a gentle breeze, finishing with a maximum temperature of 18 degrees. Enjoy the weather.
Thanks, Mina. Don't worry, I'll try my best too. Time for our regular update now from Beacon with Helen.
Hi everyone, it's Helen from the Beacon Centre and I'm here to let you know what we've been up to at the charity recently. This past week, June 1st to June 7th, is a pretty special week for us here at Beacon. It's National Volunteer Week. Normally, we have an afternoon tea and an annual award ceremony with all of our wonderful volunteers. There's an incredible 300 of them. But we've not been able to do that in 2020 due to coronavirus. We're so disappointed that we can't celebrate as usual, but we think saying thank you is as important as ever. So we decided to showcase their wonderful work and announce the winners of our annual awards virtually instead. And to make sure people know about the amazing work our volunteers do, we've also pulled together some facts about their support for Beacon. So, are you ready? Here goes. We've got 298 volunteers in total. That's up 8% from last year. And they've committed to doing more than 44,000 hours between them. That is just incredible. 84 of our volunteers consider themselves to have a disability, and 35 of those have sight loss. Their support for Beacon combined is worth more than £360,000. So, wherever you are listening, we'd like you to say a big thank you to our volunteer team. They make Beacon the amazing organisation it is. We'd also like to say an extra special thank you to the fab volunteers who've been helping with our talking news each week during the coronavirus pandemic. We couldn't do it without them. We're always on the lookout for new volunteers and we've got ways that people can continue to support us at the moment. So, if you think you'd like to get involved, then why not? Next year, it could be you in line for one of our awards. Email Becky Green at bgreen@beaconvision.org. That's a letter B followed by green at beaconvision.org for more information.
Thanks, Helen. And thank you once again for listening to this week's edition of the Black Country Talking News. Now, have you got a poem, sight loss tip, someone you'd like to wish a happy birthday to, or even just say hello to? If so, then please get in touch by sending an email to bctm@beaconvision.org or calling the Beacon Centre on 01902 880111. We'd love to hear from you. Have a good week. Stay safe, and we'll be back next week to do it all again. Let's finish off now with this week's brain teaser from Pete. Ta-ra!
And to finish, to get you all thinking, here's this week's brain teaser. Are you ready? Here we go. What five-letter word becomes shorter when you add two letters to it? What five-letter word becomes shorter when you add two letters to it? As always, give the answer next week. Cheerio.
So that's it for another edition of Black Country Talking News. If you would like to contact us, you can do so by calling us on 01902 880111, emailing us at bctn@beaconvision.org, or send a letter to Black Country Talking News, Beacon Centre, Wolverhampton Road East, Wolverhampton, WV46AZ. Thank you for listening, and thank you to all our supporters, donators and volunteers, who without their support we'd be unable to run this free service. So it's goodbye from all of us, and please note that the information and views expressed in this recording does not necessarily represent the views of Beacon or Talking News, and were accurate at the time of recording. Mentions of goods or services does not imply endorsement, and whilst every care is taken to supply accurate information, Beacon and Talking News do not undertake liability for any errors.